If you guys would stand with me as we continue our study through Colossians. We're going to be in Colossians 4 today, chapter 2, or starting on verse 2, excuse me, chapter 4. Let's read the Word of God. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the Word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. So, word of God, amen?
Amen.
As we get started here, I know it's hard to pay attention and there's a lot of distractions and you got your phones and, you know, most of you can't wait 5 minutes to eat something and drink your water, my wife, every 5 seconds, right? But if you could just pay attention to this first slide, it's really important. Go ahead, man. Okay, does everybody see this? Are you looking up here? It's very important. Dakota, are you looking?
Yeah.
I need your help here. You see this? This is a set of keys, right? Probably your truck keys. They got the little key fob on there. There's probably an office key. Those look like church keys, all right? Has anybody seen them? I lost them. No? All right. Well, anyways. Okay, so the true story is I did lose my truck keys the other day. It was a couple Sundays ago. We got home from church. We sat around for a little bit. Then we did a bunch of yard work. Next thing you know, at night, I had to go somewhere, and I'm like, where are my keys? And it's not uncommon for me to lose things, so I do what any smart man would do. I go ask my wife, because she can find everything I lose. Well, then my wife couldn't even find these keys. And we searched it. I mean, we were opening the freezer drawer, right? Like, have you ever done that to look for your keys? You're like, why would they be in the freezer? But, like, we were running out of spots to look. So, anyways, during this time, I'm sitting there at night. I don't have my key. By the way, my truck is hooked up to my trailer in the subdivision. I have no spare key. My wallet's in there. My Bible's in there. My money's in there. If my phone would have been in there, I really would have been dead. Like, I can't do anything. Like, I can't get my truck towed. It's Sunday. I am not going to pay for somebody to come out on Sunday to make a new key, right? So I'm sitting there at night, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to pray about it. Lord, where are my keys? And I got nothing. Which is fine, because I'm like, okay. And then I'm listening to a sermon by Chuck Smith, and Chuck Smith is telling a story. He's like, yeah, I used to have to do this 3-hour drive, and it was so boring, but I'd listen to sermons, and I loved that part of it, and my speaker started going out, so I'm like, well, God is in all the details, so I'm just going to pray for it. And God showed him that one of the speaker wires was bad, and so we pulled over, and lo and behold, speaker wires were bad, and he got his speakers back. I'm like, this is a sign. All right, Lord. Show me where my keys are at. Yeah, I didn't find them. So I'm just going to, prayer does work. We're going to continue on, so don't just leave it right there. Well, then I transitioned into, if you were in all the details, you knew I lost my keys, maybe it's my foolishness, maybe you were teaching. I'm like, what are you trying to teach me here, right? And a couple things came to mind. I don't know if these are from God, but one is be prepared, right? Like, I think it's a good idea. Like, I have probably 40 sets of keys. I have a spare key for every key but my truck key. I don't know why. And except for the trailer keys now that I lost the original set of keys. So I'm like, be prepared. All right, that's a good one. And then the other verse came to me about how important was it to me to find my keys? And I was thinking about that verse where the lady loses the shekel and she cleans the whole entire house looking for it, right? Like, how? And I'm like, you know what? Why didn't I search? I mean, we searched pretty hard, but I could have done better. And I'm like, why wasn't it that important to me? And I was like, is it because I live in abundance? I tell you, if I would have known it was going to cost me $180 for that key, I would have searched harder, right? $180 for, well, they had to get into my truck and then make me a spare key and all that. But I just thought it was interesting that I went from like a petitioning prayer to a wisdom prayer, and I'm just trying to seek out, like, God, what are you doing in these little things? So we're going to talk a little bit about transformational transcendent prayer. So we are on week 18 of Colossians right now. We have almost finished the whole entire, Bill's going to bring it home next week with the grand finale. He's going to take us into home plate on that one. In these 18 weeks, we've discussed our vision statement. We've talked about mercy, love, and grace, and the transforming in those. Understanding that Christ lives in us. I'm guessing some of you guys remember those sermons. Bill, preeminence of Christ and how he's been here for forever. Six of those Sundays, we've talked about transformation. I think there's a theme going on here that we're looking for in the book of Colossians, at least from the preaching point of view, and that the fruit of salvation is transformational, and that's one thing we'll talk about today. So today we're going to go through some elementary truths of prayer. So in the beginning, I'll bring you a little bit of the milk, right? You know how Paul says you drink a little bit of the milk. And then I wanted to say I was going to bring you steak at the end, but I think it's going to be more like chicken nuggets, all right? So Natalie's excited. When it comes to the Word of God, you want steak, not chicken nuggets. But we'll dig into this a little bit, and then we'll actually are going to pray at the end. All right, so does anybody here want to increase their prayer life? Yeah, there's a few of them. Awesome. All right. I have got the number one thing for you. Ready? This will 100% works all the time, sells itself. This is easy. Ready? Show the next slide, please. Get into sales, because this is what I look like every morning praying for my next deal. Get into sales. You don't know where your next deal's coming from. You don't know where the next paycheck's coming from. This is what every sales, where's Scott at? Scott, do you agree with that in sales, that this is what we look like every morning, praying for our next deal? So if you want to increase your prayer life, start working on commission, and you will be a praying. I got a chance to do the prayer at our conference for realtors, and it was right when the market had turned and started going down, and it was pretty rough on everybody, and I just looked at them. I said, I bet you guys are all praying now, right? They were like, yes, we are. So here, the basics of prayer, guys. This is really simple. This is elementary. Prayer is talking to God. That's really all it is. It's not complicated. There's some ideas on how to do it, but it really is a community. Now, is it a little more reverent than that? Sure, but when we start to pray, it's really a conversation. Here's the cool thing about prayer. Do you know it's exclusive for believers in Christ? Like, think about the other religions around the world that may even be praying to, like, a non-entity, like a piece of wood or something. Like, their prayers are not being answered. They're praying to nothing. Like, we have an exclusivity here through Christ, and we see that played out in John 4:16. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except through me. Your prayers, that's pretty special. That's kind of a good little tool to have in your belt that most other people don't have. Unfortunately, it's a little bit underutilized in the church today. Colossians 4:3 says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. So this is Paul. Like, why wouldn't Paul just say continue in prayer? Why wouldn't he just say, hey, now just keep praying for us? But he throws this verb in there, like steadfastly, right? This means resolute, unwavering, a determined manner. And there's a reason for that, because it's not always easy to pray, especially for us men, I think. I find that women can pray pretty easily. Like, my wife has no problem praying. She has no problem getting up early, sitting in a room quietly, and praying all the time, and praying for everything, and asking me to pray, and then praying some more, and leading up the prayer team. Where me, it is a struggle. I'm not going to say I don't pray, but I think as we get through this on the types of prayer, I don't know what the word I'm looking for, but anyways, it is a struggle, and for me, I have to make it a discipline, and I think that's okay. I think it's okay that I say, hey, Lord, I'm going to make this a discipline in my life, that I am going to commit this time, especially when we're so busy and distracted, right? Like, I was looking at my phone today, it pops up that little thing that says how long you were on your phone, and I'm like, wow, that was like a full work week right there on your phone. Yeah, some of it's Pandora listening to music and whatnot, but like, I'm like, I've got plenty of time to pray if I got time to be on this thing, right? So, men, be encouraged. If it's not natural or, I don't want to downplay this, but make it a discipline in your life. Be okay with that. Be okay with saying, hey, I'm just going to set time aside for God And maybe my wife's going to be amazing at it, and then maybe I got to work at it. Is that all right? No? Okay. So in 1 Corinthians 16:13, it says, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Discipline is freedom, guys. Act like men, be strong. So if you're weak in an area, use discipline to help you get into that. And pray for that discipline, and I guarantee you that God will provide for you. All right, let's go through a few types of prayer here. Now, this is a bummer because I spent all this time where these would kind of come up one at a time. I was so excited about that, but it doesn't work for our program. So you get them all at once. We have thanksgiving and adoration. This is just acknowledging God's greatness, expressing gratitude for his blessings, talking about the attributes of God. Caleb was praying that this morning, talking his goodness, his holiness, his, all the great things of God. You guys want, when you pray, it's real simple. Just tell God how great he is because he deserves it. Told you this was going to be milk. Thankfulness for things in your life. Like, you want to know the number one cure for grumbling and grumpiness? I dare you to get up every morning and go for a walk and just say things you're thankful for. Teenagers, listen to me. You're grumpy. You're pissed at the world because nothing's going your way. Spend a few minutes going, Lord, I'm thankful that my parents put a roof over my head. I'm thankful that they have a car to take me all the million places that I need to go, right? Guys, there's things. Hey, if you have nothing to be thankful for, think for your salvation. To be called by Christ, to be living eternal. Get off these temporal things for a little bit and just be thankful in your prayers. We have petition and supplicate. Petition just means asking for stuff. This is one we're really good at, right? Right? We're really good at, like, I don't know about you, but I'm really good about, Lord, where are my keys? Where are my keys? Tell me where my keys are at. Oh, you want me to say these other, okay. And supplication just means humbly bringing it before God. Just honest openness, humble in our petitions, trusting God to answer according to his wisdom and his love. Guys, this is the easiest one of them all, is to ask for stuff. And that's okay. Because think about it. Parents, when your kids are little and they're asking you for stuff, not when they're older, let's talk about when they're little, isn't it kind of cool? And you're like, oh, heck yeah. And if grandparents, you're like, yeah, whatever you want, right? Like, your father loves to be in your life. Your father loves to be connected with you. And yeah, you know what? Sometimes he's going to be like, no, I'm sorry. You're not ready for that. You can't handle that right now. Oh, come on, Lord. If I win the lottery, I promise I'll give most of it away. No, you won't. I remember praying that as a young Christian. And now I'm like, Lord, don't let me win the lottery. I know what I'll do. Confession. This is a good thing through prayer. This is kind of maybe where you need to start after you talk about how great God is. But guys, we really do need to come to God with confession. And it's not just the big sins. It really isn't. It's the little things that bog us down day by day. Whether it be our grumpiness towards other people, you know, it could be maybe even little lies that we tell just to inflate a story or something. Those are big deals to God. You gotta remember, he's holy. He can't have anything sinful around him. And that's why we gotta confess our sins, as Jesus has asked us to do. And our God is going to forgive us. What does he say? Hey, confess your sins. They're as far as the east is from the west. Right? Why would he say east from the west? Right? If you go north, south, you hit the North Pole, South Pole. You go east, west, you never come together. Like, that's honestly why he did it. East is from the west. That means they're gone forever. So take time in your prayer life for confession. And then we have intercessory prayer. That just means praying on the behalf of somebody else. This is probably somewhere where we're a little bit lacking. There are so many things that we need to be praying for other people. Like, we have a list of missionaries that are all around the world right now that I guarantee you need to be prayed for. They need that encouragement. And you know the beautiful thing about prayer is, like, prayer has no boundaries, right? Like, I can pray for my aunt in Denver right now, and it's going there. Now, is it in God's will? I don't know, but I get to send that prayer. I can send it over to my friends in Mexico or whatever. There's no boundaries on that. So pray on the behalf of others. You never know when they're going to need that, and we should be consciously thinking of that. See, Colossians 4:3 says, at the same time, pray for us that God may open to us a door for the world. So even Paul is like, hey, can you pray? Can you intercede on our behalf? And there's many of us that need that. Let's go to the next slide. Places of prayer. Oh, mine says wilderness, but it says private up there. This is important. Like, I was studying all the different, like I had ChatGPT. I'm like, show me all the different places of prayer in the Bible. And it was usually secluded. It was about 60% of the time. And a lot for Jesus. My challenge to you is, do you have a private place to pray? Is there a place in your house or a place you can go that you can get away from the distractions of the world, of the kids, of the media, whatever it is, and privately pray to God? This is a very important part that I think a lot of us miss in this busy world, is we don't have a place to go. But you guys know you do, right? It's that little room right over there. That's our prayer room. There's 18 people in this church that have a key. There is a good chance, if you want an isolated place to pray when nobody's here during the day or at night, we can probably find a way to get you in there. But you need a private place. In Mark 1:35, it says, and rising very early, now we have morning too, which is kind of important, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. I think we should be imitating Christ in these things, right? There's challenges with praying when you're not in private. There's noises, right? There's distract. Like me, I can't sit in my house and pray. There's somebody moving around, a pet moving around, there's a door, something's going on that it will distract me. I have to isolate and go somewhere for me. Now, my wife, there could be a tornado going on and she would just pray right through it. Doesn't bother her. I love this saying. It said, no noise is so emphatic as the one is trying not to listen to. And that's me right there. Like, I'm trying not to hear that, but it's like, it just expands in that time. So we have a prayer room here. My encouragement, as you're listening and thinking through this, do you have that place that you can get away and be honest with God and pray? And I'm going to tell you, when you go into that room, if you go into that prayer room by yourself, this is what it looks like for me. I pray for about 3 minutes, and then I'm like, Lord, I'm out of things to pray about. And I really feel like he goes, good. Now listen, because I'm going to give you some things to pray about. Awesome. Thank you, Lord. It's usually pretty good stuff, too. You kind of got to work through the mental mind games of your flesh trying to say things to you all the time, right? Like, oh, did I shut the oven off? Did I turn the dishwasher on? Did I pick the kid up? Did I do da da da? You gotta have time to get through that. And I promise God will show up. And this is my favorite one, the belly of a fish. Has anybody prayed there yet? I was reading this. I'm like, wow, Jonah, that's right. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the belly of a fish. If you guys pull that one off, will you please let me know? I'm really interested in that. You're going to do that. All right. Let's go to the next slide, please. Personal barriers to prayer. So these are from the Bible. These are things that might be not a distraction, but actually blocking your prayers. These are things that we're going to read and that we got to be conscious of and that we usually can confess and work through. We have the lack of faith, James 1:6-7, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For the person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. I think that's pretty cut and dry, don't you? We must pray in faith. How much faith did God ask us to have? Do you guys remember? Say it. Mustard seed. That tiny little seed. He's not asking much. But we need to pray in faith. So I'd encourage you in your prayer time, when you feel faithless, you're like, Lord, I just need a mustard seed. That's all I need. So, Lord, will you give me the faith to pray through these things that I'm praying for? You know, what is it? Hebrews 11:1, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Like, we have to pray in faith. You don't know the answers to a lot of the prayers. You just got to believe that God is interceding in that. Yep, I don't remember the next verse, but that's all right. Broken relationships. We see this in 1 Peter. Whew, husbands, we're getting beat up. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as a weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Oh, I didn't like reading that one. I might not always live with my wife in an understanding way, but there's confession, so that's okay, right? And I have a very merciful wife, gracious. 1 John 4:20, you can't hate your brother and love God. Like, I want you to think about this for a second. If you are not treating your wife well and you hate your brother, and then you're like, yeah, I'm going to go pray, God's like, mm-mm, that's probably not going to work. We also got wrong motives, right? I think we'll see that here. Let me make sure I got my notes right here. Oh, I'm sorry, I got one more for hating your brother here. It says, so if you are offering your gift to the altar, this is Matthew 5:23-24, and then remember your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Our third thing here in personal barriers is wrong motive. James 4:3, you ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. This is a tough one for me. So I'm like, Lord, I think this is a good thing that I can use for other people. I mean, like, other people like riding in a boat. So I think that's good, right? Like, that is a tough one. Like, I'll be honest about it. I'm still wrestling with God on that one. On, man, Lord, how do I have the right heart to ask for the right things all the time? Because there are some pleasures that I wouldn't mind having, and I don't mind asking for them. And then our last one here is clinging to a particular sin. This can be a barrier in your prayer life. Psalm 66:18, if I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. Isaiah 59:1-2, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, or his ear dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he does not hear. My encouragement? If there's sin in your heart, remember, you don't have to be out murdering people. You just have to be thinking about murdering people. And that's just as bad. That's a little play on words there. It's more of hating your brother. But if there's sin in your heart, that's where the confession part comes in. God wants you to confess, Lord, clean this heart of mine up. Clean the things of my life up. That's part of the transformation we've been preaching on for 18 weeks. That's the part where we're going, hey, okay, maybe we didn't give you the tools. Here's your tool. If there is sin in your heart, confess it so that your prayers may be listened, may be answered. All right, next slide. What do we got here? Prayer is transformational. It changes the heart. Psalm 51:10-12. Create me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Do we seek a changed heart, or are we seeking a comfortable heart? I think that was my question to me. Am I praying for a really changed heart, or am I just praying, God, make me feel comfortable about where I'm at? And I think I've been leaning towards the comfortable part instead of the changed heart part, right? It's one of those things that's like, it's probably easy for God to start changing those things when you first become a believer, but then when you start to grow in your faith, that you might just get a little comfortable going, yeah, well, you know, that's really not that bad. At least I'm not like Joe over there. I hope there's no Joe over there. Anyways, I hope I'm not like Joe over there, right? We do that little bit of comparison. Ah, God's like, I'm the comparison, perfect and holy. Be holy as I am holy. Ezekiel 36:26, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Amen? Amen. All right. Purity. Here's a good one. Psalm 119:9-11. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. Like, this is Job 3:1. I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at young women. Psalm 103:3, I will not set before my eyes anything that is worthless. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. Ladies and gentlemen, you want to clean up your life? Clean up what you look at. That's a big deal. It really is. The things that, what does it say? It's like it enters through our eyes. And then I'd also encourage you to the things you listen to as well. See, music is very powerful, and this is why. Music bypasses the intellect and goes straight to the soul. So the music you're listening to, like I was challenged, Terry talked about this, he didn't tell you exactly what it was, but I had some country music on and we were driving around and he's like, yeah, I don't listen to that. I'm like, oh, why not? And he threw some verses at me and I was like, oh, wow, maybe Red Solo Cup isn't what I should be listening to. And I honestly, since that point, have not put country music back on my radio. It's been purely Christian music, right? So be careful what we look at. And if it's a struggle for you, pray through that. In your quiet time, Lord, this algorithm keeps beating me. He's probably going to be like, well, get off of it, but you know, like, just shut your phone off. That'll solve the problem. But no, pray through that. Your God cares. This is the part I think we lose is God really does care about you. He really wants the best for you. He really doesn't want those things in your life. He doesn't want the prayers to be blocked. He wants communion with you. He wants to be in relationship with you. Let's go to the next one, anxiety. How am I doing? Oh, man, I'm doing great on time. You guys are going to be here for another 40 minutes. Everybody laughs now. All right. Anxiety. All right. I am not going to get into mental health. I am just going to get into what the Bible says. We see this as a problem today. Even the doctors are like, this is one of the most detrimental things to our body, is worry, anxiety, stress. It's always got different names and it just comes in a different package. Philippians 4:6 says, do not be anxious about anything. How many things should we be anxious about? How many? You sure? Let's read that again. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. That covered three of the things that we were talking about. Let your requests be made known to God. We know that worry and anxiety is not good, right? We already know that, but yet we still comfortably live in that most of the time. God is really concerned about this. He really cares about you, and that's why he's writing to you and saying, hey, when the anxious thoughts come up, right? When the worrying comes up, I want you to pray to me, the Father, God Almighty, the controller of all things, the one who may have even put that little thing in your life that's causing you to worry. And I want you to bring those requests before me. And I will give you rest. I will give you peace through those. You know, worrying is like, I was thinking about it, it's like walking over an old bridge across the chasm, right? Like, what you are worried that the bridge is not going to hold you. Or you're worried that you are going to make a mistake and fall. And we worry about things that we don't even know are really going to happen. And that's where if we are aligned with God, in prayer, and we can see how he is working things out, we can cast all that before him and let him guide us through those situations. Again, I'm not going to get into too much detail on that, but I think when it says do not be anxious about anything, that we should take him for his word. It says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Don't take on the worries. Don't take on the anxiety. If your God has promised you that his yoke is easy and his burden is light, would you fall on that promise in prayer? Would you come to him and say, hey, I am feeling anxious about this? Next slide. Prayer is a mystery. I was realizing this as I'm studying it. I'm like, I don't have all the answers. Heck, I just gave you a little bit of some milk here today and some chicken nuggets. But it really is a mystery, right? Like, think about it. We're in this 3-4-dimensional world where we got height, width, space, time. And God's outside of that. And I can't fathom that, right? Like, we don't understand the dimension God's in. And yet our prayers go up there. Who knows how he works it out? And then he's like, I'm going to answer him. How that works, I don't know. But that is why we got to rely on the Holy Spirit to guide us in our prayers. Because we don't see the whole picture as God does. We don't understand the whole entire plan. So it is a bit of a mystery. But I think part of that is where we grow in our faith. Where we start to understand and grow with our relationship with God. This is my favorite one. You know, prayer is God's way of including us in what he is doing. So I think we pray to get God to do what we want, but really God's just including us in what he's already doing. Like, if you read through Exodus, and you'll see how some of that plays out with Moses and the Israelites. But guys, it's God drawing us into his plan. So when we're in communion with him and we're building that relationship with him, he starts to use us in what he's doing. It's not us going, okay, God, you're going to do this now and you're going to change everything around it. It's going to be God's like, no, I am going to do that, but I've already had a plan going the whole time. I'm just now including you in it. So my encouragement to you is, if your prayer life maybe isn't that strong, think of it as a way of God including you in his plan. What a great thing to be like, hey, I'm in God's plan now. We see that in Romans 12 too, right? It's like, do not be conformed, be transformed, but then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. You will be brought into his plan. Prayer is a test of faith. We talked about that a little bit. Think about it. Abraham and Isaac. That was a huge test of faith. To be able to go, hey, you know, Isaac's like, yo, dad, where's the sacrifice? Right? Smart kid. And what does Abraham say in faith? Don't worry. My God, our God, will provide. 1 Kings 18:36-30. Elijah prayed that God would answer him in the consuming sacrifice, right? Elijah is before all the prophets of Baal, and he just trusted that God was going to take that up, take the sacrifice up in faith. We won't talk about him running away after that. And then last but not least, the art of transformation is engaging in prayer. We have spent 18 weeks, 7 of those weeks talking about transformation. And if you're struggling in that, here's your tool. Pray. It will transform. We talked about the purity, the changed heart. We talked about the things in your life that God will help in through confession. Pray to God. It's transformational. I guarantee you, if you're in a close relationship with God, it will change your life. This is a line I always use for my kids, and you young people can listen to this. I always told my kids this, and asked Trevor. Heard it probably 100 times. Trevor, you want to know what your future is going to look like? Yes. Look at your 5 closest friends. That is so true. You look at their 5 closest friends, they are going to emulate and become who's around them. Same with us. If we are praying, communing with God, we will become like God. Yeah, that's pretty deep. I'll invite the band up as we start to wrap up, but I do have a few challenges for you and a few things to say. So Leonard Ravenhill said this, the greatest undiscovered area in the resources of God is the place of prayer, right? Like, we are deep in the Word. We have a million studies, but I can tell you, as Ravenhill said probably many years ago, the greatest undiscovered area in the resource of God is the place of prayer. Guys, we can be doing good works and not be in God's will. I just want to look at the book of Revelation. Look at the churches. Some of them were doing some good things. And God was still like, yeah, but you forgot about me. I've used this line many times. If you want to know the spiritual temperature of a church, look at the prayer meeting. We have a first Thursday prayer. I think it's been going on for 4 or 5 months now. We have about 6 people there. I think we had more last week because we encouraged small groups to come. We have prayer just before First Thursday prayer, right? We have once a month prayer with Ralph, right? We have Wednesday morning prayer. And we have 4 or 5 people going most of the time. If you want to see the pulse of the church, look at the prayer meeting. Do you remember what God said? Was it the Laodicean church? Hey, if you're hot, I'm going to use you. If you're cold, I can break you. But if you're lukewarm, I have no use for you. Can I get some background music? Yes. All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to go through a couple songs. For this first song, this is what I ask. I just want you guys to pray as a church. I don't want you singing. Some of you, it might be the first time you've prayed all week. Some of you, it might be the 100th time, Christy. Would you just pray for the church together? For the rock. For the people in the church. Pray for the leadership. You know they need it. Pray for the discipleship wing. Pray for our parking situation. Pray for the Latino church that meets here on Sunday. So just spend a song in prayer. But also, I'm going to challenge the men of the church. During this song, will you come up to the altar and will you pray for your church? Will you come, stand, kneel, and pray together, corporately, lifting up the body of Christ in unity? We have some issues here. It's not perfect, but we can petition our God to bring us all together as one. After the first song, I'll have a couple elders up here. Ralph, what do we got? Is Paul here? Paul, if you wouldn't mind coming up after the first song. And if God is laying something on your heart that you need prayer for, come on up on the second song. We'll be here for you. Let's pray real quick. God, I pray that we would recommit to starting our day with you, Lord. That men would have a deeper, dedicated time with you each day. That we would throw off all the things that hinder us and surrender them to you. Lord, forgive us for our sins. Forgive us for our complacency. Lord, we strive to seek you, but there are so many things that hold us back. We want to recommit to you today. That which you deserve. Spirit, as we rebuke those things that hold us back, please fill that part of our heart with you so that we cannot fill it up again with things that don't matter. And Lord, may you be ever more powerful in our lives, in our church, and in our community. And may we continue to grow in our faith daily.